This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Welcome each and everyone to this I'm going to call it a course but it's not a course. The purpose of this get together is more than a course. We have a very big niyyah for this session or for all of these sessions inshallah. Our niyyah is much greater than ourselves. Our niyyah, Uncle Thabit, don't get comfortable at the back there. Come to the front, min fadlikum. Come sit here, front row. You must join my uncle here, man. Can you bring your chair with? Our niyyah is much greater than ourselves. Our niyyah for this particular course and session is going to be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only prepare our hearts for Ramadan and prepare ourselves for Ramadan, but that through our coming year and gathering year, that Allah bring our ummah back to the house of Allah.
Amen.
Our entire ummah. And I'm saying this with a heavy heart because the reality is, while we are all sitting here, there are among our community members, among our jama'ah, those who had not seen the inside of a masjid for the last 2 years, still. They've seen the inside of a mall, perhaps even the inside of a cinema, but they haven't seen the inside of a masjid. Alhamdulillah, the pandemic seems to be coming to an end. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that a reality. Amen. But the houses of Allah are still worrisome, right? Still empty. So through our coming year, that is what we hope to achieve inshallah. This course, so these sessions are going to be structured in a three-part way. The first part is going to be recitation of some adhkar. And for that, I need all of you to participate. It's everything that you already know, inshallah. I've especially asked my uncle to join so that he can lead us in those recitations. Along with the recitation, it's not going to be the full dhikr every week, just part of it or selections of it. So for tonight, for example, we're going to commence with the beginning of the four werk, right? We're going to be looking at what we call the four werk. That's Afrikaans for those watching from overseas. And it means the introductory amal, the introductory a'mal, introductory dhikr. Because it comes as a prelude to the main part of the dhikr actually, which is, generally speaking here locally, it is going to be the Ratib al-Haddad, the Ratib of Imam al-Haddad. But we'll explain all of this inshallah ta'ala. Of course, this is selected because of our own context, and this is what our community members are familiar with. But the verses and the ayat and the ahadith and the adhkar, they are very general. You'll find them in almost every litany of dhikr that you can come across. So that said, we will explain the meanings of what we've recited and also the virtues attached to what we recite, inshallah ta'ala. So we have covered in this masjid before. We've covered Surah Yasin, we've covered Surah Mulk. We have not covered, as far as I know, the three calls as a recitation, the Fatiha, the beginning and ending of Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, Salawat, Tahleel, various other forms of adhkar. And now, yeah, that basically covers it. That's the entire gathering of dhikr that we know about. Why are we doing this? I've mentioned our own personal niyyah, but beyond that, we want to connect ourselves and our practice with the Prophet ﷺ's teaching. There's been various approaches to this in the past. For some people, the idea of connecting our practice to the Prophet ﷺ's teaching is to eliminate the practice entirely. But that would be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It's a good practice, even if you have to adjust certain things to make it completely in accordance with his teachings, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That doesn't mean you end the practice of goodness. because you're not going to replace it with anything better, right? So it's connecting to the Prophet ﷺ's teachings. It's in order to have a deeper appreciation of what we are reciting. Sometimes I sit in a dhikr and we recite a certain puji and it touches me so much. It kind of moves one to tears because of the intense meaning attached to it. And then I feel somewhat disappointed that perhaps others in the gathering don't quite have that same experience because they're not connecting with the meaning, right? And you don't necessarily need to study Arabic to know the meaning of a couple of lines of dhikr. And that is another one of our objectives or motivation. Another motivation for why we are doing this, the Fawarik and Ratib al-Haddad and the fiqh of dhikr, is because most of us, judging by the age of the audience, we've already memorized these things. We've already committed these things to memory. Just by show of hands, how many of us memorize Surah Yasin because of sitting in dhikr gatherings in our lives as youngsters? Practically everyone. But now ask your children the same question. Or ask your grandchildren the same question. They don't. They don't have those opportunities. We also want to motivate that you adopt the adhkar that you've already memorized as a wird. A wird means a daily litany. A daily litany. What do I mean by litany? Litany is basically a quota, a daily quota of some dhikr that you recite, right? In every effort of Islamic spirituality, daily awrad, which is the plural of the word wird, daily litanies, is part and parcel of spirituality. We've got this, and we had it super regularly in the past, where it was on a Thursday night and on a Sunday morning. But now, we barely ever see it. And the virtue that reciting dhikr has on the heart is only really felt and attained when it is done. What?
With understanding.
Regularly. Do you know how the Ratib al-Haddad is recited in places such as Yemen, for example, where this actually originated from Imam al-Haddad, we'll speak about probably. He resided in Yemen, Hadramaut. So he composed this litany. He didn't write the dhikr. It's people make this mistake. If we look at what we recite in our dhikr gatherings, it is ayat of Quran and it is sunnah du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There are some of the lines which are not from Quran, nor are they from the sunnah. The meanings are still good and it was composed by our pious predecessors, so there's nothing wrong with reciting that. But the point being, he didn't write it, rahimahullah. He simply composed it. Like when somebody writes a book of hadith, we don't say Imam Bukhari wrote Sahih al-Bukhari. We say he compiled Sahih al-Bukhari because he didn't write any of the words in it. He's just compiling the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not that we, taking Imam al-Haddad as the only... No, it's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one to whom we have our allegiance. Another motivation is that this is leading us into the month of Ramadan, and we want to prepare for Ramadan. And the way to prepare for Ramadan is not just by buying your labarin clothes early and shopping. Preparing for Ramadan means getting your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your family. Everyone needs to be in line to know, look here, it's time to get a bit serious now because we're approaching the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ramadan. We are doing this because we are hungry for taqwa. We are tired. You all came here because you're tired of the same story for the last 2 years. COVID restrictions, COVID. Alice is like COVID. We're losing our minds because of COVID, and we can see that our communities have been impacted, our families have been impacted, and our souls have been impacted. So this simple series of get-togethers is motivated by the fact that we are hungry for taqwa. Our hearts are hungry for taqwa. And then lastly, I think, or rather, no, second last, fada'il inspires. Fada'il inspires. What is fada'il? Fada'il is the plural of the word fadila. Fadila is not just the auntie that lives down the road. Fadila means a virtue. A virtue. So the reward of something. If I say to someone, listen, Bachra, Surah Yasin every day. Finish. Now in the past, that was enough. You tell that person, Bachra, Surah Yasin every day, they'll Bachra, Surah Yasin every day. Okay? But people are more informed, I would say, these days. Knowledge is more available. And there's a lot of misconceptions also. So somebody would like to know, but no, for hukum mutikat bacha, why should I recite Surah Yasin every day? But then if you explain that reciting, for example, Surah Mulk every night before you go to bed or any time at night, it is a source of protecting you from the punishment of the grave. And then you tell the person what the punishment of the grave is like, and then what happens? They'll be motivated to recite Surah Mulk every night. And the same thing with any portion of the adhkar, it is there for a specific purpose. Now this is what amazed me, and I want you to remember this. What Uncle Fahmi is going to be leading us in the recitation of in a moment is called the voorwerk. So when I started studying, now this is the phases you go through when you study formally. You start out, you have your understanding of what deen is. Then you come to learn a little bit. Let a claim bit, you're probably studying for 3 months or 6 months. Now you want to change the world. Then the entire dhikr and everything that it consists of is a bid'ah. So now you want to throw that out completely. And then you study and study and study and study and study a whole lot more, and you come to look back on that and you realize, but hold on, this is composed of a lot of wisdom. Why is it that we start with the salawat and then you have the dua, the intention, right? Let's say, how does it start now? Like, this is why I have Uncle Fahmi, by the way. Every subject has an expert, and I'm not the expert in this one. But you start and you say, Al-Fatiha ila ruhi or arwahi jami'a amwati muslimin. You start with your niyyah. We're making this for the soul, on behalf of the soul of so and so. May Allah reward that person, or forgive that person. And then you start. Why is it that you have the recitation of the three quls right at the beginning and then Fatiha? So fada'il inspires, and let's not get ahead of ourselves. Then another reason for doing this is sometimes the reason why students who learn kind of pull away from gatherings of dhikr and so forth in certain circumstances is because they see a lot of mistakes, right? And it's almost aina to the ears when you know how the right thing is, and then you see it's like somebody coming and then they're saying, Happy birthday to you. And you look at the person like, what are you doing? Why? Because the proper words of happy birthday, just a small weird example, you know it. So when the person goes false, so they say the wrong words, then you will, you know, you're not comfortable with it. Just from the perspective of your psyche, you're just not comfortable with it. So when somebody bachas the Quran, the kalam of Allah, you sat there by a teacher having to rectify every harf. You had to pull two pulls, four pulls, six pulls, and now they just changed the whole thing. Qul huwallahu ahadun illa. You know? So we can't do that to the kalam of Allah. So there are certain things that must be rectified. But just because there are certain things that need to be rectified, or beliefs, for example. You know how many times a year I get asked, Wanne is die siewe ane? Is it voor Maghrib, achter Maghrib? Is it op? You know? It's a weird question for me because there's no basis for the question, right? But I don't hold anyone who makes the above mentioned mistakes accountable whatsoever, because it's simply a lack of education. As Maiskult. It's not their fault, it's my fault. I'm the one who's supposed to teach deen. My colleagues, my ummah, we're supposed to come and rectify those mistakes. And alhamdulillah, it's very nice to see that those mistakes are being rectified in many jama'at, right? Kufahmi runs one of that. I mean, we can obviously ask him about it perhaps later on in the course. But they meet regularly and they've been working just on fixing common mistakes. This is not a group, you know, within of ulama. Sheikh Ismail Lant also has his own jama'ah. They've also been working on it. And lo and behold, while maintaining the lagu, and that is by belangrijk, no? Why is the lagu so important? We'll speak about that as well. So rectifying it is. Then, usually it is recited on special occasions or for a specific need. Need in Arabic is haja. Sound familiar? Haja. Haja means need. So it's recited for a specific need. What do they say? We're going to a gathering of dhikr, but it's done specifically because there's a need. Why do you have a dhikr at your house? Because you just moved in, or because it's somebody's birthday, or because it's an anniversary, or the child was just born, or somebody's getting married, right? So you have a haja. You're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're offering what? Dhirk, amal. You're offering a'mal, good deeds. And in return for that good deeds, you hope that Allah grants you your heart's desire. However, the institutionalization of a specific act at a specific time with the belief that it should be or it must be like that, that is problematic. Okay? This is when you enter into that swear word territory, bid'ah territory. If we make it such that we include into deen that which Allah did not include or what the Prophet ﷺ did not include, is the difference between what I'm saying and saying that when you do that which the Prophet ﷺ didn't do, that's not a problem. When you do that which the Sahaba didn't do, that's not a problem. According to the majority of ulama of the four madahib, there are so many instances in the sunnah where Sahaba did what the Prophet ﷺ didn't teach them to do. I'm not here to give a lesson on that, but there's a plethora of instances, right? One of it that we know about from the very get-go, something that was done that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. We do it every Ramadan. What is it? Taraweeh in jama'ah, 20 rak'at. That wasn't done like that. Okay, but nonetheless, so the idea that something must be on the third day, or what must be on the seventh day, or it's a sunnah to do it like that, it's a problematic belief because it doesn't come from Allah and His Rasul. But does that mean you must not do it at all? Just leave it out because it's no, doesn't mean that either. It's going extreme on both ends of the spectrum. Do it, make dhikr, recite Quran, recite salawat, give food, give charity, whatever you want in the name of the deceased. But don't become fanatical about details of third day, seventh day that the Prophet ﷺ didn't become fanatical of. Do it on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, every day. Right? Another example is like reciting three Yasins on Nisfi Sha'ban, which is also coming up. That practice is not sunnah, it is not in the Quran, it is not in hadith, it's a tradition, it's a culture. And as long as you see it that way, then reciting Surah Yasin 3, 7, 100, 1000 times isn't a problem. But the moment you say, no, no, you must, now it's a problem. Because who are you to must, right? Who are we to make law? We don't make law, we just determine what the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So it's very, very important to draw those distinctions. Now let's commence inshaAllah ta'ala. We spoke about some definitions, so let's look at the definitions. We said werk means work, which is the Afrikaans word for amal, right? And in light of our culture, what we are essentially referring to is dhikr. It consists of recitation of certain verses and ayat of the Quran, which hold special virtue and value. Remember I said the way it was compiled? The most powerful ayat of the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ described as the most powerful ayat because of all the virtues attached to it is incorporated into it, right? And then specific du'as of the Prophet ﷺ that are very, very, very powerful du'as, right? One example, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. Does it sound familiar? Maybe if I do it like this, Bismillah illadhi la yadurru ma'ismi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. So it has a very powerful meaning and it has a very powerful virtue that the Prophet ﷺ described to us. It is protection from everything. Right? Recite it three times in the morning, three times in the evening. That's what the hadith says. It's part of the dhikr. And we can give you many, many examples of that, but that's why we are here. It consists of salawat and it consists of tahleel. Right? Salawat, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin, whichever the form and tahleel, reciting of La ilaha illallah. You do adhkar, you do daily litanies because we all are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes we can have a special amal because you have a special need. And my late teacher, rahimahullah ta'ala, was in a hospital, incubated for COVID. Then we did something that we heard scholars in Dioban did, which is to gather and recite the entire Sahih al-Bukhari from cover to cover, make a khatam of it. So all the students would sit and read a khatam and then appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, through this effort of ours, please grant this dua, right? That's exactly the same thing, but just with a different deed, okay? So how many of us don't have needs in our lives, right? And of all sorts, but the concept that our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers had was you in need, turn to Allah. Every gathering, there was a niyyah for it. Every special occasion, there was a dhikr for it. Not just the karaoke and the after party. They had a dhikr for it because they have a need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we move on. I see 55 people simultaneously watching with us online. Yalla suppose many masjid tawis. Then, what is a ratib? A ratib is from the word tartib, right? Meaning order or system or something that usually refers to dhikr. That's not ratib. That's a different story. This is a ratib. Ratib. The ratib al-haddad. Ratib is the composition or compilation of al-haddad, that is Imam al-Haddad. Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad. He was a very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and part of the Ba'alawi tariqah, right? And they stem forth from Hadramaut in Yemen. They have a very active group locally with my colleague and teacher Mullah Abdul Rahman Khan being for all intents and purposes the leader of the tariqah here locally. But their scholars and their teachings stems forth from Imam al-Haddad. Right, so much of our spiritual practices locally in the Cape is connected to that particular tariqah. For example, what we do on Nisfu Sha'ban, the whole reading of Surah Yasin 3 times, if you want to know where that comes from, it comes from there as well. Right? At least they laid a lot of emphasis on it still. I know the late Sheikh Siraj Hendricks, his master's dissertation was on the tasawwuf and spiritual practices of the Cape. And tracing all of that. It wasn't published, but I think it's in the process of being published. So do take note of that. Auntie Fatima Nuruddin says that the masjid was still locked earlier on. Ahmad, where were you? People were here, mashallah. We do invite all of you to the masjid. And then lastly, the Ratib al-Haddad. You know what Imam al-Haddad's nickname was? Who knows? Please, somebody know. It's mentioned in the Ratib al-Haddad, in the du'as. Just take a guess.
Irshad.
Kutub al-Irshad. Kutub al-Irshad. Right? Kutub was a title given to the most pious, you know, people. Right? And that was his nickname, subhanAllah. The pillar of guidance. The pillar of guidance. It's a nice name, yeah, mashallah.
Yeah,
the compilation of adhkar in this specific order is by this scholar, the Ratib al-Haddad, not the four of it. Now here's the thing, a couple of years ago, in fact I think I was still studying at the time, so one of the scholars from Hadramaut was here, he was one of the first to actually come here, and then after him many came, Habib Kalvin, Hafidhahullah ta'ala, and then we took him to a Ratib al-Haddad in Parkwood, and he sat there, and then he sat through the whole thing. Now remember, this is their tradition. We basically inherited it from them. So they're the asl, right? There's no like, they're the asl. We basically the Bombay version, if you can call it that. So he sat in there, the whole dhikr. And I mean, he liked it, the fact that it was alive and, you know, people were reciting it. And so his first comment was, it was long, tawil, jiddan. Because the way they recite it is not with all the languages that we have. It's just recitation. Like, for example, you'll read بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. 3 times as opposed to the lago, which takes like maybe 5 minutes to recite that whole lago. Okay, so I'm not saying this or that. It's just a matter of if you take it as a daily weird, daily recitation, it won't take you as long as it does when you go to Hattat. And that is how you should do it. They recite it like, I think, every night after Maghrib. Imagine, you get your family together, so you do your Maghrib, and you read your du'as and whatever the case may be, and you just sit, and you spend another 5 minutes, and then you finish the entire, not 5 minutes, but maybe 10 minutes, and you finish the entire Ratib al-Haddad, and you get all the virtues of all the du'as recited therein. Okay, I think that is enough. Let me just see. Yeah, I think that is enough for this evening, inshallah ta'ala. We'll end off on the rules, the ground rules. But this is actually going to take a long time to discuss. Can I mention it? Here are my ground rules for us to improve, right? Check your intention. Don't do it for the buba, for the barakat, or because your friends are there, or because you go for the nice sounds, the first voices and the tenors of the play. Those things are all extra, added extra. You with me? Those are the embellishments. Your niyyah must be, I'm going to make dhikr, I'm going to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will show in your physical state. If you're there for the sake of Allah, for sincerity, for your heart to be rejuvenated, you're not going to chill like this in the gathering, right? You're going to have adab. You're not going to be talking on your, playing with your phone or chatting with the other person or making a joke in between, laughing. And you know, it's like a serious affair. It's ibadah. So you check your intention. That will seriously improve the way we make adhkar. Tajweed over lagu in Quran recitation only. Why? Because Quran recitation is not it's not play. It's the words of Allah. There's only one right way to recite the Quran, and that's the proper way. Different variations of the proper way, yes, but the only right way is the proper way. You can't recite Quran just how you want to. You can't pull where you want to. You can't press where you want to. You can't shorten where you want to. Mispronounce where you want to. It's Kalamullah. Jibreel alayhi salam transmitted it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who transmitted it to the Sahaba, and on and on and on. So you can, as Uncle Fahmi, mashallah, and others have managed to do, combine the two, where you maintain the proper recitation and incorporate it into the lagu. So it's slightly different to what you're accustomed to, but nonetheless, it's there. But the lagu, while maintaining the word form, meaning in non-Quran, in other words, everywhere else, go crazy with the lagu. But just don't change the meaning, maintaining the word form. Because if you change fi qalbi to fi kalbi, then you go from in my heart to in my dog. That's a big difference. You understand? You say, if you say, Anta shamsun, anta badrun, what are you saying? Oh Prophet, you are the sun, you are the moon. But what do people normally start with there? Allah, anta, right? Now what are you saying? Na'udhu billah, you're saying Allah is the sun and the moon. Big difference. Shirk difference. Okay? So, Rabbul Malaikati Ar-Ruh. If you say Hu, it's a very different meaning compared to if you say Hi. And the Hi is actually the correct one. Because you're saying Rabbuna, Ya Rabbana, Rabbuna, Ya Rabbuna, Wa Malaikatu, Wa Ruhi. No, Wa Malaikati, Wa Ruhi. If you're saying, oh, then you change the meaning entirely. I can't get into all the details of everything. But that's the point. Just maintain the meaning then when it's non-Quran. Maintain priorities. Avoiding haram and observing that which is fard must come first. No? You can't be sitting in a khatat. You know? You can't, or rather, I shouldn't say it like that. But you shouldn't emphasize the importance of the haddad if you didn't emphasize the importance of fajr. You with me? Get your priorities straight. First things first, and Allah decides what comes first. Here's another example of this, a practical one. We can't emphasize the importance of a Ratibul Haddad on a Thursday night, for example, if we don't equally emphasize the importance of Surah Kahf, which is from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's what I mean thereby. Know who and what is authoritative. This is a big deal. Listen carefully. Let's say you hear in this class or from another scholar that some version of your practice that you usually do in your culture is incorrect and it needs to change. Don't be the person who says, Astaghfirullah, ma ons ouers het altyd so gedoen. Because that is a very bad argument to make. Right? This is what the Quraysh used to say. The reason why we're doing shirk, for example, is because our forefathers did this. It's something to consider because it's urf, it's the culture. We need to really see is really a problem. But if the Quran or the Sunnah or the scholars have stated that this is the right way and you still go and you say, no, we're doing it the other way because we found people doing it like that, that's a very weak argument to make. So know who is authoritative and know what is authoritative. How are you going to decide between that? Okay, now we must end. I hand you over to Uncle Fahmi who's going to recite the beginnings, cool. Inshallah. Just from the beginning, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala till la ilaha illallah.
اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حضرة النبي المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته الكرام الفاتحة الفاتحة إلى أرواح جميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اغفر لهم يا الله وارحمهم برحمة سورة الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين دعوة فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحية فيها سلام وآخر دعوة من الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوا يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا ولا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين
MashaAllah, I see Uncle Fahmi was in a rush tonight. But it is quicker, it's naturally going to be a bit quicker than what we are accustomed to because we generally pull everything. So it's quicker, but it's very important. So at this stage, of the dhikr generally, the Quran recitation part is it's finished. Now you're going to go into other things. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahla al-bayti inna. This is not, you don't need to recite this like Quran now because now you're going into salawat and you're going into other forms of adhkar. And that's fine. Then you can do exactly the old school lago and just try to keep the meanings, okay? So for that, you also need a little bit of education. And that's exactly what this Jama'ah has been doing. They've basically been educating themselves, okay, we need this, must be an alif for a reason. It's not just there for decoration, right? So if there's a letter there, it needs to be recited, otherwise the meaning is going to change. But what exactly has been recited here, that is something we're going to have to talk about next week, because we're out of time now, we're going to enter into the Waqt of Maghrib. What time exactly is Maghrib?
It's about 5 to.
5-2. So it's going to, yeah, we won't be able to get into the nitty-gritty, but what did we just say? Starts off with salawat. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala. Who can tell me why we start our ibadat, especially du'as, because this is, the whole thing is a du'a, you turn into Allah in supplication. Why do we start off ibadat with salawat? You begin and end with the salawat, that's correct. Why? It's blessings, yes. There's a very specific reason. So that it can be accepted, mashallah. Because salawat is du'a. But it's a special du'a because it's a guaranteed accepted du'a. Allah will never reject the du'a. When you say, oh Allah, Allahumma, salli ala Muhammad. Send salutations upon Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no ways that Allah is going to reject that du'a ever. Allah is going to send salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it's a guaranteed accepted du'a. So you start with a guaranteed accepted du'a, you end with a guaranteed accepted du'a, inshallah, everything in the middle will also be accepted. It's composed with this wisdom in mind. Next, Fatiha. كل أمر ذي بال لم يبدأ به بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فهو أجلم. Any act that is done of importance that does not begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, also understood to be the beginning of Surah Fatiha, that act will be cut off from its blessings. So we recite Surah Fatiha. And of course you recite the niyya, which is, I mean, Shafi'is are accustomed to this, generally we teach Nawaitu and so on. You don't need to recite it, but that little line that was given to you, you recite it out loud to make your heart aware. The same thing here. So you're making yourself conscious of the haja. We generally do this for the those who passed away. So ila jami'i amwat al-muslimin, to all jami'a, to all of the amwat of the deceased and muslimin of the Muslims. That's just one haja. But let's say you're doing it for a different haja, you can say something else there in the beginning. You can say a different puji, right? Okay, and then we recite the three quls. The three quls, these are called al-mu'awwidhat. Al-mu'awwidhat, those things that initiate the refuge of Allah, that places us in the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's specific virtues about this, and there's specific times when this is extremely sunnah, but it's one of the best things that you can incorporate into your life. Let me tell you why. We like comprehensive things, all-inclusive, right? Reciting the three quls, three times each, in the morning and in the evening, will literally, the Prophet says, it will literally suffice all your needs. Full stop. All your needs, Allah will suffice it for you. So that's an amazing virtue, to recite it three times each in the morning, three times each in the evening. But there's other times also, before going to bed, before sleeping, in a specific way. After every salah, to recite it once each. Right? So it starts off with the three quls. And then, specifically, in the four of it, we recite Surah Ikhlas three times. And Mu'awwidhatani, which is Nas and Falaq, we recite that once each. And there's a specific virtue attached to reciting Surah Ikhlas specifically three times each as well, right? Then we move on, and then it's the Fatiha, which has a plethora of virtues, which we'll go into detail with. It's basically the most important part of the Quran, and this is indicated to in its name, Ummul Kitab. Ummul Kitab, right? The mother of the book. The Quran is like summarized in Surah Yasin.
Surah, okay. Fatiha.
Then we go into Surah Al-Baqarah, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, specifically from the verses Alif Lam Mim all the way through to Ulaika Humul Muflihun, I think that's the end of that section there. Those opening verses, specifically them, till that point, there's a specific virtue that the Prophet spoke about that. Has a specific significance, just to those verses. And then Ayatul Kursi. And in the ending of Surah Baqarah, specific verses, specific virtues attached to that as well. It's not like somebody just went through the Quran and said, okay, what can we add in here, what can we add in there? Each ayah has a reason, has a virtue attached to it that makes the entire dhikr, what we call the fawwab, an extremely powerful daily adhkar, an extremely powerful litany. And if the only way you can remember it is by reciting it in Lagu, that's fine, then recite it in Lagu until you learn to prioritize the tajweed and the pronunciation over the Lagu. Until then, recite it in Lagu. It can be what you recite to your daughter, to your son before bedtime. It can be what you recite before going to sleep. You must now upgrade from Ashadu Allah. You can upgrade now, right? iPhone 13s this year. You can upgrade our deen also. All years, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah before going to sleep. Right? Add to it. Don't be shy. My wife recites Surah Mulk to my daughter before bed. Unknowingly, my wife didn't know this, but she was memorizing it. She practically can recite with you when you recite Surah Mulk now. She doesn't know what she's saying, she doesn't know why she's saying it, but it was just repeated so frequently. Right? So add to it. And then after the ending of Surah Baqarah, oh yeah, the dua at the end, that dua is the kalam of Allah in dua form, which is why we make it in dua form at that portion. It's a very powerful dua as well. So we'll go through that. And then that basically ends the recitation part. Mm. If we just did that little bit of recitation every night in bed before we go to sleep, wallahi, we're going to see an amazing difference in our lives. Because can you imagine the amount of barakah that's going to come into your life? And we haven't even touched on what the virtues are yet. I didn't even say, like, except for kul wallahu ahad, except for the three kuls three times each, I said, suffices you for everything. But like that, every single thing that we just recited carries virtue and power with it. Barakah. Right? And we'll have all of that in our lives every day as opposed to just when there's a hadah. And we can incorporate it either for ourselves personally or ourselves as a family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I'll end it there and open up for any questions. I think we probably only have time for one. But we always have a Q&A session at the end of each class. So don't worry about it, inshallah. Any questions? What uncle is describing, okay, firstly the question was, sometimes in gatherings of dhikr, then they would mention the names of the shuyukh that have passed on before, right? It's even incorporated into the Ratib al-Haddad. In the dua part, there's a lot of that happening there, which we might get a chance to get into, inshallah ta'ala. But that is simply called tawassul, right? It's asking Allah. Now, I'm not talking about whether this is good, bad, right, wrong, bid'ah, not bid'ah. Now, I'm just explaining what it is, right? Tawassul is a practice in tasawwuf, right? It's a specific practice in tasawwuf, where you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that through a specific thing, through the blessings of a specific thing, that Allah grants you something. And there's examples of agreed upon manners of doing this. The three people who were in the cave, the boulder covered the mouth of the cave, they asked Allah, Allah, through that deed that I did, move the boulder. You know, so that's tawassul. But then this is specifically tawassul with the saliheen. That, oh Allah, through the barakah of, say for example, Abdul Qadir Jilani and so on, please grant me that. So that's tawassul. And we can talk about the hukum of that another time because it's quite a controversial issue, right? But that's why they do that. The idea is to get that. It's built into our culture, by the way. So even if you don't know, it's already built. Mawlana ya Mawlana bi hurmati Muhammad. What is that saying? Through the hurma, through the sanctity of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la taqta' raja'ana. Don't cut off our hopes. So it's built in there. You can fight about it later, but you do not clear it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Any other questions? You can ask. Huh? It's supposed to be a easygoing class. Like, it's supposed to be comfortable. I want you to feel like the masjid is a safe space. Absolutely. I mean, you're basically asking me, is it permissible to tawaf around the Kaaba reciting Quran? And that's definitely permissible. Look, you cannot criticize. We can criticize. We can say, that's what's better to do. There is, but maybe they don't know of anything better. So what do you want them to do? Nothing? You know? Then we can criticize, yeah, but how can they sing song around the Kaaba? That's the only way they know it. You understand what I'm saying? The only way they memorized it. So let them, you know, then they can inshallah learn better, you can teach them better. So it's permissible. It has its shortcomings, right? As far as, you know, best practice and perhaps manner of doing it. But it's completely permissible. I would in fact encourage it, especially if you can recite it properly. If you can do the whole dhikr by yourself, you know, properly, by all means recite it. That's a very, very powerful thing to incorporate into our lives. So the takeaway from tonight, besides all the technical stuff and all the, you know, fiqh, we called it the fiqh of dhikr, and I hope you didn't think that was just a marketing tool. It's genuinely this fiqh to learn about dhikr, right? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Besides that, the takeaway is to try and incorporate this into every day. Think of a suitable time before bed as you're falling asleep, in the morning after Fajr, after Maghrib with your family, in the car as you drive to work, etc. Right? And Allah knows best. Until next week, inshallah, sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Before I greet the book that we're going to be reading together, Mataharatul Qulub, I don't have copies of it, I'm going to have copies printed. So if you can let me know, if we can maybe write it on a page, inshallah, before you leave, then we can place a correct order, and Shamila, my wife on top, she can perhaps do that for the ladies as well, right? It won't be expensive, maybe around 50 rands or so. You can place your order and let us know, inshallah. We'll obviously confirm the price before you purchase it. Jazakumullah khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.